A lot of people have an opinion on the Star of Bethlehem. What exactly was it? There are messages on that. There are people that travel and talk about it. Well, I believe it's like everything else that the Lord does. It's an unprecedented event that cannot be captured. That was done one time for one reason, and that was to lead people to the Savior. Does everybody that has a study sheet have one? Is there anyone that needs one that didn't get one yet? The study notes. Want to make sure everyone's got one, if you'd like it. Christmas. You don't want to miss the stage of the production of the Incarnation because it was on location in Bethlehem. It was out of a trough, out of a feeding trough. Not the place that you would think the King of Kings would be born, would you? If I said to you, you know, if you really want to get closer to Jesus, I want you to go feed out of a trough, would you do that? It would seem a little bit insulting. But it really wasn't. Because did you know that nature, including the animals, they're the ones that really respond to the Creator. They respond a lot easier than we do. We're the ones that argue. They respond immediately to the Master. Makes total sense to me that it would be done within the framework of where the animals would be. They just wouldn't be like the dog we had one time. That friend of ours was over. He was reading me his sermon. This is the first sermon he was going to give, and he wanted to read it to me to make sure it sounded fine. And he had it all prepared on his little napkin, and it was very lovely. And the dog threw up all over it. I said, I don't think that's an audience opinion or a critique, but I said, you may want to relook at a few pieces, but I thought it was hilarious. The staging. Then, what do you have? The soundtrack, the choir, where God opens up heaven and the great song of eternity comes to bear. I'm telling you, that's a choir and a concert you don't want to miss. There's no question about it. Today, it's about the lights. The lights, the light that led them. In any production, you need lights. You need to have light to show shadow, to show clarity, to show angst, to show joy. It backlights you, it forelights you, it does everything so that you can really understand part of that story. I always get a kick out of the old movies in the 40s and stuff where they would show particularly a death scene. They all seem to do this very well. They would cut the scene in half, kind of diagonal, and half of it would be black to show the shadow of death. But enough that you could see the person who's dying, of course, because otherwise you can't see the particular scene that you're watching. But they would do that very effectively. You could even feel it without hearing any dialogue, actually, because the color and the lighting would show you this is a difficult time on the scene. In the Genesis account, and I keep going back to Genesis because that's where God started. Everything in the Bible is in seed form in Genesis. And it's imperative to understand. If you want to know the completion, you have to understand the beginning of it. So, day one was the day when what happened? God said, let there be light. And God showed up in his own creation. He was the original light. He is the absolute principal light. He showed up himself. Because what happened on day four? The introduction of the lower lights, the sun and the moon and the stars and the stellar hosts. They were not the original light. They are here at the beckoning and the service of God the Creator. And that's the problem. If you worship the lights, you're not worshiping the one who put them there. You have to worship the Creator. That's what the Bible talks about. And so this whole story will relate day one to day four and back. it will relate it as we go down through it, which is why I love it. In the Advent adventure, the lower lights lead to the child. They lead the Magi to come. To who? The first light of the Bible. I'm going to read Matthew 2, 1 to 15. You already stood for the other portion, so you're standing in your spirit, okay? After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. Okay, King Herod was disturbed to begin with, but this just took it over the edge. And all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea." They replied, "For this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Okay, was his purpose to worship? No. There's a lot of people in God's house that aren't there for the right reason. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. You don't see Joseph here, do you? He was probably working. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up." He said, "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there till I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." I just love that in the scripture, because when you look at the different pieces of the puzzle for the prophecies of who is going to come and be the Messiah, he's out of Egypt, he'll be a Nazarene, he's in Bethlehem, he's this, he's that, all the little details, wonderful counselor. Only God could put all the pieces together. Absolutely, he's the only one. So in this portion, first of all, it's a specific star, one that I still do not believe mankind will ever fully understand until we're in his presence. I believe it was one of a kind. It will never happen again, because what God does, he does excellent. He doesn't repeat it. He does something new. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews. It's new, the new covenant, something new. And so here it says, they have seen his star. They knew it was a star of the Messiah. How did they know that? Because they had studied it. They were students of the lights. That's why God spoke to them, why God led them, because they were the ones looking. You know, there are a lot of people searching in the wrong ways, so we pray the Lord adjust their eyesight to search for the real one, the real star of the morning. The word his in the Greek, autos, is the third person personal pronoun. It means it belongs to Messiah. It is his star. Nobody else can take ownership of it. Nobody else. It doesn't belong to anybody else. It belongs solely to him. Now, did Jesus need the star? No, because he knew where he was going. It wasn't for him. It was so people could find him. Please make very sure in your life that you understand what God gives us is not to be worshipped. It is to lead us to the one we worship. A lot of people stop at some of the sacrifices or some of the different ordinances, and they want to start worshiping there. No, you worship Jesus. And the things that God gives us, they are tools, but they are not the full answer. This word also distinguishes a person or thing from something else, or a contrast with it. It's going way out of its way to say, this is his star. Don't mess with it. That's what it's really saying. It gives an emphatic prominence to his star, to the direction of the Star of Bethlehem. I love it. Some believe that it was a conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. Some believe it was a comet. Some believe it was a supernova. I don't believe it can be defined by man, personally. And I believe the moment that they figure out where the Garden of Eden is or was, or when they figure out details, that'll be the moment the Lord comes back, because it must be by faith, not by sight. We have to trust in what we don't see, and the God that saw us is the one who gave us the help, didn't he? In the Old Testament book of Numbers, it said, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. It is again a prophetic, and this is Hebrew parallelism, meaning it's saying the same thing with a little different emphasis, saying the star is coming out of Jacob, and a scepter, meaning his reigning and his kingdom, is coming forth in the same thing. So there's a lot more in this portion than people think. It is his star. The word star, Esther, it means star. It is the same equivalent of Esther, the name in the Old Testament of a star. And one of the ways that it has a meaning here, it says it means it's strewn over the sky like a shooting star, where it just moves and continues. It has an order to it. It has a purpose to it. And it's very specific. It'll stand out different than any other star, because that's who the Lord is. Okay? Remember, the stars are under the control of the Creator. So they're working at his command. They're doing what he tells them to do. And this word, it comes from the word stranuo, which means to spread and to make a bed. It's the same word that they used the day of triumphal entry, when they spread their coats and cloaks to welcome in Jesus on the donkey. It's the same idea. God is spreading a place and spreading a table for the understanding of the incarnation. And he's doing it, as always, with great flair and great power. And he uses his creation to do it. And I threw in this word here because, like the other day, talking about the manger, the sign or the symbol of God's intention, here the star is another sign. It's the Hebrew word uth, and it means a sign or an indicator, and it comes from a root word that means this, to make an incision and to cut something. Do you know what the signs that come from God are? How many like to be cut? Does that feel good to you? What happens when you get cut? I know Scott likes that, but blood flows, okay? The incision and the recognition of the signs that God puts in place for people to understand the Messiah is that he and his blood will be shed for us. We're the ones that are wounded. He's the one that bled. That's what it fully means. I love it. The Bible says the star, they saw his star in the east. In the east. This word, Anatole, means to cause to rise, and Joyce's, one of her favorite words, is to shine. God's star is not dull, folks. It's brilliant. For anybody that likes glimmer, this is it. It had to have just an extra sheen on it, don't you think? Because it reflected off of the glory of God. And it also means to cause to rise, to shine, and at its rising. They saw the star when it rose to its prominence, as it started to move. You imagine that? And always keep in mind, whenever you're reading the scripture, There are certain words that also give you the parallel story as it goes beyond the cradle, beyond the Magi. It will go to its rising. Where is it headed? It's headed toward the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the light that came in the world, as the only one that bled for us and the only one that came from another place. This word comes from anotelo, and it means, ana means a complete process, and it means to go up. How many are glad the Lord takes us up, not down? Lord wants to lift us, not tear us down. Second part, telo, which has the word tell in it, set out a good goal. So it means to rise after the completion of the entire process. When the star rose and started going, it was already complete because God had already put it in process. Right? God is the same yesterday, today, and when? Forever. What God did in eternity past is already done in eternity future. On his spectrum, it's already done. We're already living in the fullness of his answers, folks. I know we think we're looking toward an answer. He's already provided the answer. That's how glorious he is. It is a one-of-a-kind stellar event that nobody in Hollywood can replicate. You know, there's no way. They don't have what they need to have. Well, not only is this a specific star, it's also a searching party. Searching party. If your kid was on a carton of milk as a missing child, would you be sitting at the table? You'd be on the move. You kidding? Wouldn't be able to think of anything else. Be constantly looking. And the wise men are looking. They're inquiring, where is he going to be born? Why? Because they want to be there. Guess what? They missed it by 2 years. So do they throw their hands up and go, oh, well, we missed where he was born. I guess we don't have to continue the journey. Hey, you pick it up where you are. And you keep going. Because God is going to show you his birth, his worth, all of that as you go along. You're not going to miss it when you put yourself in God's hands. There's no way. So here we have the story, and you know of King Herod. This is a man that if he's upset, you're upset. There's no question. I mean, he was totally out of his mind. And when he heard there was a baby who was going to be born king of the Jews, that ruined his entire life. And he decided the only way to deal with it was to kill him. And so he knew he had to find some people that could tell him where he was. And where do they go? They go to the scribes, the people of the Old Testament. Where do people go when they get in crisis? They go to church. They call for prayer. Any national disaster we've ever had, they go to prayer. But they don't go to prayer before, really significantly, before they make a vote that destroys the whole world. They go in a tragedy. They need to go before it becomes a tragedy. Stay in prayer, right? That's another message. But here we have King Herod is going to try to use the Magi against Jesus. But God's smarter than that. Aren't you glad? Oh, man, God's got a strategy we don't even know about. Magi comes from the Greek word magos, magos, and they mean astrologer, astronomy. It can also mean a magician, a sorcerer, and a wizard. Now, you have a lot of things in there. Is it wrong to study the stars? Not necessarily. They're beautiful. They're God's creation. What's not right is do not put your trust of salvation in them, because they were put here for a limited time and for a limited purpose. They're not going to last for eternity. Don't put your eternal hope in them. When they lead you to Jesus, let Jesus take the rest of the way. That's what the Magi find out anyway. But the Bible says here that Herod secretly plotted with them. Of course, they didn't know it was a plot, but he knew it. And the word secretly, Lathra, means secret and private, and it comes from Lathano, which means, here's the guy you want to work for, to escape notice and be hidden. This guy could work for the CIA and all of them all together. He had his own agenda, and it was for death, not for life. What did he want to do? He wanted to ascertain the time of the star so he knew exactly when the child was going to be there. He wanted to know. Now, they were talking about this, depending on if it was a comet or how it was presented, that it would have been a star that was pretty much lower to the ground so it could be seen and visualized. Doesn't that make sense to you? Because Jesus came out of heaven to earth, so he would be visual, so people could see God in human form. What's the good news if he's way up there and you can't reach him? He had to come where we are. We could see he had two eyes. He felt pain. He understood decisions to be made. He was real. All of that is very important. And so the star, which I love, stood at attention under the presence and the control of Almighty God. And the Bible says in the 9th verse, the star led them. It went ahead of them. And then it stopped. And then it stopped. Read the Bible if you really want to understand the glory of the celestial and the stellar hosts. God stopped the sun. He did a number of things. People can't do that. They cannot do it. Only God can do it. So the Bible says the star led them, and it meant he went before them. It went before them. The word is proago, and it means to lead forth. It was a leader in its own right. And it means to go before. It also means judicially to go into court. Who goes into court? Nobody wants to. But there's an order, there's a summons to go into court. You have to go. This star was summoned by God Almighty to be where it was supposed to be. And it moved until it was supposed to set right over the place where Jesus was. And it said, until it arrived, this word, erkomai, it means to come and to go. I love it because it reminds me of Psalm 121. I will lift up my hands, my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. He is my going in, my coming out. He's the one who watches my in and out. He is the God that's over the entrance and the exit, the beginning and the ending. He is the entire spectrum. See, if you don't have Jesus as your king, you have no completion. All you have is an empty hole because it's not complete. So the star stood at attention. I love this. Histemi means to make a stand and establish and set up something. His kingdom is being set up visibly here because this star is under the authority and it has to stand, even if it's an infancy form, in this time frame. And it stood over the child. That's why a lot of artists render, how many have seen pictures of baby Jesus and they have a gold crown over him? They interpreted this as that gold crown. Again, I don't believe man can even master what really happened here. But the original light of day one was born and incarnated into this little baby, who is now a child, by the way, because the word child here, paidon, means a young child or an infant, or one who is under training. Notice the difference between Luke, where it talks about the baby in the trough, the baby in the manger, the baby in the crib, the baby, that word brephos, means an unborn or a newborn child. Now in January, when we celebrate the sanctity of human life, remember this word, because a newborn baby is the same as an unborn child. In God's sight, it's life. And there's no question about it. That's how God views them. So the child that the Magi came to see was not the baby in Bethlehem. It was a 2-year-old child, approximately, in a house. And that word, oikia, means a house, a dwelling, a place where you live. Doesn't sound like a stable to me, does it? I don't see no hay growing here. Not that they didn't have any, but wouldn't be necessarily the case. You need lighting in a story to show the angst, to show the joy, to show the movement of heaven. And the Lord summoned a star to do this. And I want to tell you in closing what struck me. I love the scripture. You can't outdo it. And that's this. The beginning of Genesis, day one, God shows up in his own creation, right? He is the independent, absolute light source of all. Then he creates the sun and the moon and the stars on the fourth day, and they work at his bidding throughout the course of the Bible. And then at Bethlehem, in this time, the light, the star of Bethlehem, shows that same person, except now he's in human form. He's a baby, he's a child. At its rising, you can see the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the horizon. And then what you do? Slide all the way forward, go right into the book of Revelation. One of the great verses in the Bible is this: and there was no sun, and there was no moon, because the Lamb is the light thereof. He is the light that led them. He is the light that leads us to him. He is the light of life. And nobody else can be that, because he is the unique, absolute Messiah, Son of the living God. He showed up himself. Aren't you glad? Marianne and I are going to sing a song. And as we sing it, we're going to shut off the headlights here, because the sun and the moon aren't going to be there, folks. We have to have the light within us so that that is what is going to shine as we sing, O Holy Night.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night divine. Led by the light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by his cradle we stand. So led by light of a star, sweetly gleaming. Here came the wise men from Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger. In all our trials, born to be our friend, He knows our need. To our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King. Before Him lowly bend. Behold truly He taught us to love one another. His law is love, and His gospel is peace. Chain shall He break, for the slave is our brother, and in His name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. Let all within us praise His holy name. Christ is the Lord. Christ was born. Oh, night, oh, holy night, oh, night divine.
Before we sing the last hymn, I want you to close your eyes for a minute. Jesus Christ is the beginning, He's the end, He's everything. And He led us to Himself, through Himself, and for Himself. And if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, maybe you've studied the stars. Maybe you've studied other beliefs. Nobody else is the unique Son of God. And we want everybody to know that everything God did was extraordinary so that we would one day be with Him. Because without Him, it will be total darkness. And God didn't die for us to be in a dark place. He died for us to be with Him. And if you're here today, I know the lights are still off, but if you're here and you'd say, you know, I'd like to surrender my life to Jesus today, I would like the light of Christ to be in my life. I want the star to shine upon me. you raise your hand. I just don't want to miss you if you're here today. It's the most important thing in the world. If you're here, raise your hand. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Everything you do is unique, and everything you do is unprecedented. And everything is to point us not just to light, not to a light source, but to God himself, to Jesus Christ. And I pray for the hands raised that they would know, Lord, as they surrender to you, they're surrendering to somebody who loves them immensely, eternally. Turn the light on, the light of the Word of God, the light of truth, that Lord Jesus, they would know. Maybe they didn't start in Bethlehem. Maybe like the Magi, they would come a couple years later. It's not where we start, God, it's where we end. They that endure to the end will be saved. May we follow Jesus Christ. Touch each one, I pray, with your glory and your wonder, Father, in the name of Jesus. As we sing this last song, Silent Night, I want you to take the hand of the person next to you. If you're by yourself, find somebody and make sure everybody's being touched. I'm going to ask Pastor Dennis to come up and to close in prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, we praise you for the gift of light, the gift of your Son, God, Jesus, the always begotten Son. Lord, thank you that he resides within us through the Holy Spirit now, and that we can be a light to draw people to you, to draw people to Jesus. Help us to shine for you today and this week, especially during this season when we celebrate him coming in the flesh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.